This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Crop insurance is again a target to pay for other federal spending and not increase the deficit, according to Senator Chuck Grassley. Saturday is the deadline for farmers to sign up for 2014 season crop insurance, now the Farm Safety Net cornerstone after direct payments ended with the new farm bill. But Grassley says with farmers signing up 295 million acres last year at 55% to 85% coverage rates, success may be hurting.
The success of this program has also made it a target for budget cutters. Last week, the president's budget included a $14 billion reduction in crop insurance over 10 years. It's a signal that the program will remain a target for spending offsets.
Grassley argues cutting crop insurance may be penny-wise and pound-foolish.
A workable and reasonable crop insurance program for farmers benefits everyone. And it's been very successful at helping farmers mitigate natural disasters by managing their own risks. That's a benefit to taxpayers and farmers.
Grassley says it's a matter of fairness when others have received millions or more in federal disaster help. California with a major drought, the latest example. But unlike that help, farmers help pay for their help.
So in the particular case of crop insurance, it was set up because it's better for farmers to be a participant in the program, pay a good share of the premium, and in the final analysis, know for sure that they're going to get a certain amount of help if there's a disaster and not wait on Congress to act, whether they will act and how much they will act.
Congress in recent years has cut billions from crop insurance administrative and opening subsidies, while more billions were saved in USDA renegotiations of its agreement with insurers. But some, including USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack, argue the subsidies are still very generous, boosting crop insurers' margins above others in the industry. Planting season will get here eventually, hopefully sooner than later, and as crops go into the fields and farmers look at what herbicides to use, they may encounter a problem with a dicamba shortage. Growers may need to rethink their herbicide burndowns, according to University of Tennessee weed scientist Larry Steckel, who says they will have to mix and match a little more than before because of a shortage of dicamba supplies. He says demand and the new paradigm in the chemical industry to not overproduce herbicides are the two biggest issues. Steckel doesn't expect the demand side of the equation to improve. For now, he says growers can substitute or supplement dicamba in their burndown mixes with other herbicides like 2,4-D. There are other options as well, but Steckel says the shortage of dicamba is already straining the supplies of other herbicides. He stresses that growers must be very careful to check labels when adding new herbicides to their tank mix. Those facing a shortage of dicamba are encouraged to check with their local extension office for a more localized recommendation on alternative herbicides and tank mixes. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Any parent can tell you that money doesn't grow on trees, but it can grow in an IRA. Country Financial Representative Wayne Schaefer suggests that you consider using your bonus check for just that, strengthening your financial status. Instead of buying another TV, invest in your future. To learn how to take advantage of this opportunity, contact Country Representative Wayne Schaefer in Jerseyville at 498-5800. Insurance products issued by Country Investors Life Insurance Company.
At Carlinville Truck Equipment, they think being considerate and courteous comes with the territory. Courtesy isn't merely being polite. It means honest friendship, honest prices, and honest dealing. When they put their name behind the product or service they provide for you, they do it with pride, not just in the product or service, but in having you as a customer. For your truck or trailer repair needs, call today at 217-854-6706 or visit them online at ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, they deliver what others promise.
Haul to Jersey County Grain's Hardin River Terminal and you'll save fuel, time, and headache. You won't have to fight traffic or wait in line forever either. Barge shipping rates are low and their prices usually beat the competition. Call Jersey County Grain in Jerseyville or Hardin or check their website for quotes at jerseycountygrain.com. You can also get daily grain bids by email or text message. See Jersey County Grain for details.
What are people saying about Illinois Farm Bureau? Jim and Mary Lawner, Macoupin County farmers and Farm Bureau members, have plenty to say.
We like the idea of the organization starting from the local membership. You can voice your concerns and issues and know that your viewpoint will be listened to. That idea can go from a local policy to the state and national levels. We know that our viewpoint actually counts.
The value? Viewpoint. Our members' voice for agriculture. Call Macoupin County Farm Bureau and ask about other Farm Bureau values. Illinois Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
The livestock markets felt some of the impact from the volatility in the grain markets following the March USDA supply and demand report. Market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, went over what we're looking at in the livestock markets.
Well, it certainly has had an impact on the feeder cattle market, helping to cheaper corn prices, helping to support the feeder cattle market. Fat cattle market are focused pretty much on the immediate tight supply situation. We are seeing some improving packer margins, which is encouraging the trade that perhaps we can get at least steady money on the cash market this week. And the cash market is currently at a premium to the futures. But the real story is in the lean hog complex. And we look at what's happening there and the declining availability of market hogs due to the PED virus. Packers' margins are positive. They're using those positive margins now because of record high product prices to fight for those hogs. And so we're pushing cash prices higher each day. We're another $1 to $2 higher today. When you look at the lean hog index, it has been higher now for 34 straight trading days with gains over that period of just shy of $25 per hundredweight. This is a major story in the meat industry, especially in the pork industry, and it sets us up for a very volatile time around the March 28th USDA quarterly hogs and pigs report.
Right. It seems for a time there, it was shocking news to hear lean hogs go up at all, and now they've made extreme gains. So it'll be interesting to see this carry out in the future.
Well, it really does. And the sad thing is with the tightness of beef, that the pork industry was poised to be able to really take advantage of that and capture much of that business. But then the PED virus struck, and yes, it's giving us good prices, but it's giving us good prices at the expense of some tremendous loss by the hands of the producers. Over 4,100 operations across the country in 26 states now have been affected.
And I'm sure it will only get a little bit worse before it gets better, but hopefully it will get better soon.
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly hope that for the pork producers.
Paragon Economics President Steve Meyer said the impact of PEDV and the hog shortage will eventually impact consumers with higher pork prices. More strength could be seen in cash hog prices.
The numbers that we see through January suggest the possibility for hog prices up in the 120 range, 125 range on a 100-weight carcass weight basis this summer. I still think that is absolutely the case. We've seen futures markets trade up this week, and I think that's really within the realm of possibility.
The National Pork Board has invested an additional $650,000 for new research into PEDV. That's on top of the $1.1 million in supplemental funding for similar research last year. From now through April 21st, nominated districts are eligible to apply for a math and science grant funded by America's Farmers Grow Rural Education. Grants are awarded in amounts of $10,000 and $25,000 for a total of $2.3 million to fund a range of science and math-based projects in rural public schools. To nominate a school district, you can go to growruraleducation.com. Again, that's growruraleducation.com. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.